me officially welcome everyone to Momentum Mastery. This is brand new year, and this is our success call for the month. So I am super excited about our call today. The topic is sustainable inspiration. And, of course, it is the first of a brand new year, and often what happens this time of year is we set our goals, we get started, and, well, and then we notice that some people might fade off into the sunset, maybe not even get started with their goals, and others may really go on and accomplish everything set on their list. And we want to really look at, you know, well, what is the magic ingredient that you need to stay energized and focused on your most important goals all year so you actually realize them? That's one of the big topics we're going to focus on today. We're going to be looking at how you can fuel your inspiration so that you can consciously create and sustain effortless momentum and realize your goals, even ones that seem out of reach or ones that you've struggled with in the past. And if you notice that your own sense of motivation or inspiration isn't as charged up and rocket boosting as you would like, we're going to really talk about how we can really rev that up. So to kind of kick off for our call today, I'm going to talk here probably for, I don't know, maybe about 30 minutes or so, and then I'm going to kind of open things up, and those of you that are here listening live will have an opportunity to get some coaching around your own sustainable inspiration, or share, you know, what you're tapping into as your source of sustainable inspiration. But to get us kicked off, since it is a brand new year, and we're going to be talking about motivation, we want to really start with some top goals. So just right now, you've probably been doing some thinking already about what's important for you in the new year, what you want to move towards. So just jot down what might be 3 to 5 of your top goals for the year. You might look at, you know, in the relationship department, what are some top goals, business, career-wise, financially. What kind of goals do you have on the inner peace front? Maybe you have goals related to your physical environment to get things organized and systemized and decluttered. Maybe you've got some health goals. Maybe you've got a goal to have more fun. So really kind of just allow yourself to jot down your top. It could even be just one, but you know, 1, 2, 3, 4 to 5 goals. We want to focus in on just a more concentrated number. And then as we go on our call today, we want to really look at, you know, are you really connected in to this idea of sustainable inspiration for each of your top goals? So let's talk about what sustainable inspiration is. I've used that word several times here. Some of you who have heard me speak at an Awakening Beyond Achievement Tour may know what that is. If this is your first time being part of Momentum Mastery, you might be wondering, okay, well, what's sustainable inspiration? Sort of sounds good. So I like to think of sustainable inspiration is that driving force, that motivation. It's the why you really want that goal. It's all the benefits for realizing that goal kind of souped up into kind of one chunk, and that makes your sustainable inspiration. Now, the first thing to really understand about sustainable inspiration is that all of us are motivated by 2 key forces. Doesn't matter who we are, you know, what race, age, color, size, we're all motivated by 2 things. We either want to avoid pain or we want to move towards pleasure. And to really sum that up, I like to sometimes draw like a big plus sign for the positive, you know, pleasure drivers, and then a minus sign for avoiding pain, right? So it's everything comes down to those 2 as our source of sustainable inspiration. The thing is most of us are not that connected to the why we really want something. You know, we might name a goal, and intellectually it sounds like a really good idea, and, you know, we really want it. We totally do, but somehow, if we're clear about what we want, that's really the first step, is really getting clear about what it is that you really, really want. Because if we're not clear of the target, we're going to run into some trouble. So first step is, and it's one of the things we talked about last month, is how to really, really get clear. So you may go back, the New Year creation audio, and that can really help you get clear. But once you've got your clarity, then the next most important piece to get in place is your sustainable inspiration. So we want to start looking for each one of your top 3 to 5 goals. You know, what really is the why? Why do you really want this? If you were to imagine that you had already realized this particular goal, what would it be giving you? What are the benefits? And we want to look at both the pain motivators and also the pleasure motivators. So an interesting thing, you might, you know, even just check in with yourself and just, you can do it as an experiment over the coming week and notice, you know, in general, are you more motivated by the pleasure, the reward, acknowledgement, appreciation, you know, feeling a sense of fulfillment or contribution, being rewarded financially in some way, you know, having some kind of connection? Are you motivated by the positive? Or alternatively, are you motivated to kind of avoid something that you don't want to experience? You know, we can be motivated by fear, fear of loss, fear of failure. We might be motivated by, I guess fear is a very huge category, fear of death. I mean, ultimately that can be something to really turn around people's health and wellness. Is a life-threatening illness comes upon us and all of a sudden, holy cow, I wasn't watching my diet before, but now, you know, we've just revved that right on up, and it becomes a high priority. Why? It's more of a fear of loss than it is to, you know, look hot in a swimsuit, right? Very different. So we want to check in. There could be other fears or other negative motivators, you know, losing your house. I mean, if you need to make a mortgage payment or to provide for your children, right? Those are good examples, more of a fear-based, right? And here's what's interesting. You know, what I have found in for myself, to keep myself focused and on track and moving forward, I, you know, like to think that I'm pretty good at continuing to move ahead, but, you know, I'm still human as well, and I still fall back and have to occasionally look and say, you know, why do I really want this? And I'll really look at both sides of the equation, the pain motivators and the pleasure motivators. But here's a little interesting story. Some of you have heard of Bruce Lipton, who talks a lot about quantum physics and cells and science and so forth. And one of the most interesting things on one of his audio series was he was talking about how they did these experiments with bacteria. And inside of a little petri dish, they would have the bacteria, and they would introduce food. You know, that would be kind of a pleasure motivator. And they would notice that the bacteria would find a way to move towards the food source when that was added to the little petri dish. Great, makes sense. Okay, good example of moving towards something. Another experiment, they placed a toxin inside of the petri dish, and they noticed that indeed those little bacteria found a way to move as far away from the toxins as possible. But here's what was interesting. When they presented both toxins and food in the same petri dish, what do you think happened? Actually, what happened, they didn't move towards the food. They actually moved away from the toxins. There was food, you know, present and available for them, but the pain avoider was much, much stronger. And actually, that's true in human beings in general. That's why a lot of, you see a lot of marketing is really playing into our fears and into our current pains. They're motivating us in a place that they know works. So you can also do it for yourself and moving towards your goals. So as you're kind of thinking through for each of your top goals, you know, what might be some of your, you know, positive motivators, some of those negative motivators, let me just share a couple other examples, real life examples of goals. One, some of you may have heard that years ago, there was a time when I carried around a hefty sum of debt. I will say at its peak, it was as high as $65,000, not something I'm super proud of. At this juncture in time, at the time of this story, it was about $30,000, and I had just been engaged to my husband, John. We weren't married yet. And we found ourselves in the offices of our tax accountant. And somehow we got to talking about debt and so forth. And my accountant shared the story about how he waited to marry his wife 5 years until she got out of debt. That's what he did. And as soon as he said that, I mean, here my, you know, husband-to-be is sitting here in the office, and I'm thinking, I'm 39. I don't really have 5 years to get myself out of debt. You know, we want to start a family. We want to move forward with things, right? Plus, you know, what if he changes his mind in those 5 years? So all of a sudden, my sustainable inspiration kind of kicked in on a whole nother level. Okay, I've got to get this handled and not, you know, drag this out for years and years. So one was my fear of John going away and not marrying me. And then it also became, as I started moving forward, out of a sense of respect for him, that really, even though he wasn't, you know, threatening to call things off, he was, you know, I mean, it wasn't something that he should have to deal with coming into a marriage. And so I really got myself just totally inspired out of respect for him. And at that time, I really started looking around for what I could do that could add an extra income stream to my business. I was coaching full time. There wasn't really room in my schedule to add a whole bunch more one-on-one clients. My book, The Power of Inner Choice, had just been published. This is about 5-6 years ago. And I realized that selling books at $16.95 probably wasn't going to be my fastest path to becoming debt-free. And this is when I started looking around for, you know, something else that could get me out of debt quicker. And at the time, one of my mastermind partners, Eva Gregory, was leading year-long group coaching programs. And I was seeing what she was doing, and it looked like a good structure. They were at an affordable price. So I sort of borrowed the structure, came up with my own content, and you know, I think it was that December, you know, wrote a marketing letter. In January, I did the marketing, contacted everybody I knew that I thought could be interested, started my first group coaching program in February, my second group coaching program in March, proceeded to plan for my wedding. We got married in May, came back from the honeymoon, started another program in August and another in September. And over that period of time, went from $30,000 in debt to $20,000 in savings in just that 9-month period. And I will tell you, there are times, like certainly the first of the year when I was getting ready to launch this program, I thought, well, gosh, you know, I've got this whole wedding and, you know, that's going to take up a whole bunch of time. You know, do I really have time to start a new group coaching program? But my sustainable inspiration was so grounded inside of me that, you know, it's as uncomfortable as it was starting something brand new, something that just, you know, was outside my comfort zone. I didn't know if I would be successful or not, but I knew I needed to do something above and beyond what I was doing. And so that's what had me keep going. And even after, I remember after the honeymoon, I mean, I had the same thought, well, gosh, I've already got 2 group coaching programs. I had a very full client load. I probably had 25 one-on-one clients. But I thought, no, I've got to get this debt handled. And It's a $99 a month group coaching program. I was rallying about 20 people into each group, you know, so I could kind of predict, you know, what kind of income this could give for me. And sure enough, because my sustainable inspiration was significant enough, I was really able to stick with it, and I've been debt-free ever since. So something very, very doable. But again, you know, if I hadn't gotten emotionally connected to that source of inspiration, you know, who knows, maybe I still would be in debt after all these years. Another example, just on the business front, later I'm debt-free, but, you know, my husband has got two startup businesses, and we were really wanting to move forward in creating a family, and I'm older, so going with an in vitro fertilization process, IVF, was looking like that was going to be the option that could help get us pregnant. You know, and I didn't have all the savings built up, right? I just barely got myself out of debt. So again, I needed to look for, you know, what is a source of income that I can go out and create. So I ended up creating a program called Beyond Six Figures for Coaches, teamed up with Eva Gregory, and we basically put together a program to teach coaches how to launch and lead their own group coaching programs. And I can tell you, at least a gazillion times in the planning of that program, I, you know, wanted to postpone it. Gosh, are we ready for this? I don't know if I've got, you know, the time that it takes, you know, getting all the marketing right and so forth. But again, because I had it linked up emotionally that this meant that we can move forward and create a family, it kept me in the game and allowed me to move forward. You know, that's really enabled us to move forward and actually create the family that we want. Another example, a couple years ago, every so often I like to come up with, you know, something to, I don't know, flex the discipline muscle, and I don't know quite how long ago it was, but I decided, I'm going to take a hiatus from drinking wine and just, you know, going on hiatus. So I was during one of my periods, I don't know, a 30, 90-day period of just no wine, no alcohol, and I was talking with a friend of mine about this, another wine lover, and she's like, oh my gosh, I could never do that. And, you know, I at the time I'm like, of course you could, you know, it's, you know, we can do anything when we have the right leverage. And sure enough, kind of a crazy example, but I think it was maybe a year or so later. So it would have been a year or so later that she actually got diagnosed with a brain tumor. She had a seizure. There was some serious stuff going on. And because of that, the doctors told her that she cannot drink alcohol. With the medication plus alcohol would make her more prone to having more seizures, which could be life-threatening. And she just had two baby girls, right? So do you think her sustainable inspiration was kicked in just a little bit, right? I want to be here to provide for my family and to get to see them grow up. You know, her health, her life was at stake. And so I believe she ended up not drinking for a couple years, you know, and was it that hard? You know, not really, because the sustainable inspiration was really, you know, locked into place. She's now totally fine, recovered. I just saw her the other day. 3 years ago is when this happened. Actually, about a year ago, they said she would be fine to drink wine if she didn't overdo it. So, all happy story there in the end, but a good example, again, of sustainable inspiration. Let's see. Okay, give another example. During one source of sustainable inspiration can really just be around keeping our word, you know, really making a commitment. Sometimes you see this when people commit to, you know, doing a marathon and they collect donations, right? You collect all these donations, and really the only way you're legally able to collect them is if you actually do the run or, Recently a friend was doing a 500 mile bike, from Northern California to Southern California. But you collect all these donations. It serves as a commitment to, follow through with that physical challenge, right? Running a marathon or, doing a walkathon of some sort. I know the same thing was happening when I was writing my book. They had a yoga competition that you could pick to do either 60 days of yoga in 90 days or 90 days of yoga in 90 days, Bikram yoga. And first off, a friend said, oh, well, I'm going to do the 60-day one. And so there was a little bit of competition. Sometimes competition can be a good motivator, depending on your own, internal makeup. So that was the first motivator for me. But then once I got started and also started raising money also for whatever the foundation was for, I really got committed to the 60 days of yoga and 90 days. It happened to be the time when we were just finishing getting my book off to print for The Power of Inner Choice. And so literally, I was mapping out in my schedule when I could get all these workouts in so that I could absolutely meet my deadline of getting 60 days of yoga and 90 days. So again, accountability, a little bit of competition, a little bit of obligation to follow through for a charitable, and also even just for the sense of pride, right? A sense that just to know and to say that I did it. So another example, I was coaching a gal at one of the Awaken and Beyond Achievement events earlier this year, and she was having a challenge. She wanted to do some live events of her own and to get started, but some of the fear of, gosh, I don't know if I can do this, was creeping in for her. And we started checking in and asking some questions. So what will be the positive impact if you do these events? She's like, oh, my gosh. She's like, she's all about health. Well, if she does health, that maybe she could prevent somebody from, getting diabetes. Maybe she could prevent hundreds of people from getting diabetes by making a shift right now around their health. And as she started getting connected to that, all of a sudden the light switched and she's like, okay, now I have to do this. And part of that is coming around from tapping into her own true sense of purpose. I know that can be a real driver. You get that sense, I've got to do this. It's uncomfortable, but I've got to write that book. I've got to go and create that keynote speech, or, I've got to get this message out somehow into the world. So those are some examples. Could be just even, just you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. One of my other clients was really working on organization of boxes, and she happened to listen to a tape of, she had done some kind of a counseling session with somebody a couple of years ago and heard herself sharing the exact same challenge about wanting to clear out all these boxes in the garage and get this organized. And she kind of got so, in a way, pissed off with herself that she hadn't gotten this thing handled, that, okay, she decided, this is it. I'm sick and tired. I'm just getting this done. She hired a professional organizer to help her, stay focused on this, and she actually finally got this project done. So yay on that. I'll tell you a structure that worked for me in the organization department. Years ago, I was living in houses that were on the market for sale. So I would basically stage the house with my furniture and, making it look more homey and warm, and it would help the houses sell. And as an exchange, I would get to live there for a whole lot less than normal rent, which when I first moved to Southern California, that was a very welcome thing to do. And I will say it also served as a source of sustainable inspiration, because we had to have the house in a certain kind of order in any time a realtor was going to come by and show the house. So instead of just waiting for the realtor to call, pretty much we had to kind of have the house showcase ready pretty much from 8 in the morning until 6 o'clock at night. That meant dishes done, beds made, things picked up, and it served as a really phenomenal structure to develop those habits around organization and decluttering. So not that I recommend, go sell your house, go live in one of these homes, so you can develop the habit, but just to give yourself ideas of other ways to kind of get yourself tapped into that proper motivation that you need. And one last example, I don't know how many people here on the line are motivated at all by check marks or stars, but I was just talking with a client this morning who, actually two of my clients this morning, that really, that totally works for them. One of them, gosh, for years that we've worked together, introduced creating a little spreadsheet where on the very first column were all the habits that he wanted to do each day. So everything from exercise to taking his vitamins to hydration. I think there's 4 20-ounce containers of water on his list, all the way down to affirmations, meditation, reading, so all these things. And then across the top of this Excel spreadsheet, it's numbered 1 to 31. So there's a little box. So if you just imagine one sheet of paper and then boxes that, go all the way across. And each day, he gives himself little X's, little check marks for the ones that he does each day. Does his water, check mark, check mark, check mark. Workouts, check marks. So as you continue throughout the month, you're either looking at lots of white space, or as soon as you're seeing the white space, you're like, okay, maybe I didn't have a good day yesterday, but I'm hitting it tomorrow. So a really, really, really great structure there. And it's one of the things that I did for years to really cultivate that habit of discipline, getting, some of the health habits down, reading, meditation, affirmations, connecting in with visualizations, all of those things, it helped huge. And still to this day, a little structure I use, sort of like check marks, but in my monthly calendar, I work off of a month at a glance calendar, and all of my appointments are written in pencil, but all of my workouts are written in pen in capital letters, and then I circle it. So at any given month, I can look and see how active I've been. And I love, love, love. I've associated lots and lots of pleasure by having lots of workouts in there. Last year wasn't one of my better years, but this year I'm already recommitted, and literally I have something in every single day so far. I had a back spasm last night, so my chiropractor says I can't work out the next day or two, but all the rest of my days are really full, and you can bet that I'm going to be squeezing in at least one walk so that I can count that as one of my exercises. Again, it's a positive motivator, and it's also a negative motivator in that I associate pain with the white spots. So that's kind of another structure that you can use as kind of a sustainable inspiration. And one of my other clients this morning was talking how she is getting back by a lot of conversation and new year, getting back into health and so forth. And one of her colleagues basically said, okay, if you don't get in your 1 hour walk in the forest, which was going to be her exercise, then the consequence or the pain is that you have to pay $100 to my favorite charity, right? That was the one-time structure. We just talked about that again for her commitments for the coming week, that there is some kind of consequence if she doesn't follow through. So, of course, you got to make that real. If you're not totally connected to it and honoring and following through, then it can be just, one other thing. But if you really take it seriously, it's a phenomenal inspiration source. So lots of ideas there. Let's just say, for example, you're looking at your list and you're like, well, I'm writing down some of the benefits I'll get, why I want this, some of the pain, but it's not really kicking in for me. So let me throw a couple more at you. So we can take kind of a one level. So let's take one of your goals and think about what that is. And I might ask you, if we were coaching you here live on the call, you know, do you consider yourself more a liberal or more of a conservative? Are you more Democrat, more Republican? Okay, and let's just say you say, hey, I'm definitely more liberal. Then I might say, okay, if you don't realize your goal in the next 90 days, then you're going to need to make a $1,000, $5,000 contribution towards the Republican Party. And there are clients that I have done this, and oh my gosh, all of a sudden they get in the cells of their being, it's like, you know what, I really could do this if that was the leverage, because holy cow, I did this one time for, you know, one of my Democratic clients, and it's like, oh my gosh, you know, the pain, more painful that his wife is even more liberal than he is, and if he would have to give money to the Republican Party, the pain that he'd have from his wife on the judgment of that would be excruciating for him, right? So here's another example. There's a book called The 1 Minute Millionaire by Mark Victor Hansen and I believe Robert Allen. And the book is it's actually a two-part book. One part of the book is a story about a woman who is confronted with a very serious challenge. She has her husband dies, and the step-parents come and basically take away the children and basically say, unless you can raise $1 million of income and show that you can be a good provider, you will never see your kids again. And holy cow, is that leverage or what? Absolutely, right? So the story goes about how she goes throughout the next 90 days and taps into every resource and into her own psychological, you know, shifts and shapes, doing what she needs to in order to make $1 million of new income, not borrowing it from somebody, making it, earning it in 90 days. So the book is half about that story, and then the other half of the book is all about financial strategies to make money, which is the name of the book, The 1 Minute Millionaire. So think about it that. If somebody were to take away your sweetheart or your children or a pet, if you didn't get that book published and get that out, or if you didn't drop that 20 pounds that you've been wanting to do for a long time, or if you didn't finally just get your office in order, it's like, could you do it? And of course, with whatever level, with the proper inspiration, anything really is totally possible. Let me just check in and see, does anyone have any questions? I feel like they need a little help finding some sustainable inspiration. Or, alternatively, sounds like you may be tapped into some good things. Who would like to share what is a new source of sustainable inspiration for you that you've identified for one of your top goals?
This is Juanita.
Hey, Juanita.
And the consequences really struck home with me. I have worked at so many things. I have a mind that will set a goal, like signing up for your course and doing, and just not being able to hang on. My mind will change from one priority to another. And I'm retired, so I don't really have a consequence if I don't do these things. And yet, I want meaning to my life, and I want structure to my life. I want to feel good about me.
Yeah. And that's a really, really good motivator. When you get really connected that, you know what, it's like I've done enough of, all right, I've done enough of floundering or whatever the word may be. I'm going for meaning. I'm going for aliveness. And to not have aliveness equals pain.
Yes. and I've been on a lot of calls, and I don't speak up. I press in tonight. I get talked to, and it's like, oh, no, now I've got to come out of the closet. I can't just be quiet. I'm just used to sitting back and not having to do anything. And yet I've just gotten in with a group of women that I met through another course, and we're being awesome spiritual supporters and motivators and just there for one another. And they are telling me how my gifts are here and that they're really appreciating and they're seeing, and I'm finding out that I'm not who I decided I was, which was fairly inconsequential, but that I do have something to offer. And yet it's like, how do I come out of the closet? How do I motivate myself and to do some of these things?
Exactly, exactly. Well, so first off, really just recognizing and even artificially amplifying the pain. Some of it you can artificially inflate, some of it's very real. I can hear that in your voice, that it's painful to just, you know, let your gifts kind of be muted and, you know, and to sit and kind of hang back and not really give the full gifts that you are meant to give, right? So part of it is like, okay, I'm so done with that. And then it's about totally associating pleasure with self-expression, with speaking up, you know, so every time, like right now, really allowing yourself to feel triple or quadruple good for sharing into this space when it's something that you wouldn't have normally done. Turning up the rewards and putting yourself, you know, certainly putting yourself in an environment where that's really welcome. So really great idea that you're here.
Yes, and that environment where I'm truly welcome, this is the first time that I've done that. Who knows what excuses or what reasons I have had for not having support, putting myself in a group of support, but I finally evidently identified what a group of supporters would be like, and I created that for myself.
Uh-huh.
And now to have a place where people are saying, gee, Juanita, I really liked what you said. May I share that with someone else? And it's like, what?
Yeah, well, that's what happens.
And so this is extremely exciting. And, yes, amping up what I'm doing.
Yeah, we can play with both sides artificially. And that's really one of the keys of if, you know, as we're going along, we can tap into these benefits and our driving force and the why. So one thing we can do is you can actually write out a paragraph for each one of your top goals, why this is really important, what your sustainable inspiration is, and then you can read it either daily or once a week and continually to come back. You know, why is it that I really want to, you know, fully give my gifts in the world? Why is it that I want to really, you know, cultivate a sense of meaning, you know, and get into some of the details for that. You know, whose lives will you be able to touch, and who else might you spur onto a path of personal and spiritual growth because you've shared openly with them who you are.
Right.
And another thing that I talk about a lot, it's also one of the audios you'll find in the Momentum Mastery Forum, is on the compounding effect of choice. It's also chapter 3 in the book, The Power of Inner Choice. And if you want it really fast, you can go to lifecoachmary.com. It's actually one of the free chapters I give away when you sign up for my newsletter on my homepage. But the compounding effect of choice is a great source of sustainable inspiration. It says that it's the little things that don't seem to make any difference in the moment, but the compounded effect over time makes all the difference in the world. So really thinking of those simple disciplines, those little choices, any action in the moment, maybe, you know, speaking up one time, you know, is that going to change your whole life forever? Well, maybe not, But if you keep doing this again and again and again and again and allow that compounding effect to kick in, pretty soon, who knows, maybe you will be leading calls and inspiring more people or inviting people into your home and creating even more of an impact. You know, who knows? But the compounding effect of our choice has often served as one of the sources of sustainable inspiration, that it's sort of the insurance that if I stick with the plan, ultimately the benefit will come.
Right. And to be able to speak up this time for the first time, I came on the call feeling my small self just sitting there being very content to hide.
Uh-huh.
And then you spoke to me and I was so shocked. And then for me to listen to you and say, you know, I'm done with that. I don't know. Part of me says you're going to go back and hide in the closet real soon. And the other part of me says, you know, I think now that I've done this,
yeah,
and let my voice out there to be heard, that I'm taking it that this is going to make a huge impact on me.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, I invite you to come back then next week and be sure and share at least one thing on the call next month.
All right. Thank you.
And there's another source of potential sustainable inspiration, which is accountability, right? It's like, okay, you've just now publicly committed to all the people here on the line, including me and yourself, and especially the more real we make that accountability, the better.
That's right.
Yeah, very good.
Got it. I will see you next week.
Okay, good. So who else would like to share either something they've identified as a source of sustainable inspiration or, you know, wanting some coaching or input to rev up an area for you?
Hi, Mary. This is Gail.
Hey, Gail.
I'm going to share a bit more about the accountability piece.
Yeah, good.
I'm having a love-hate relationship with it at the moment, but I took on walking my talk in a whole new way in my life and then publicly announced that I was going to blog about it.
Mm.
And having that kind of hanging over there, like an opportunity to share with people what's going on inside of the whole project, has been really helpful as ongoing inspiration to keep me engaged in what I'm up to from a very empowering place that'll make a difference for me and others. So that's one of the kind of way to add accountability, is to do whatever it is that you're up to in some public fashion.
Yes. Nothing like saying, okay, I'm going to be blogging consistently about Project Heaven on Earth, which is your project, right?
You'll see one of my blog posts was like, oh, God, why did I take on blogging? You know, but really. But I just wanted to piggyback on your share about accountability. And it's like, if I take on accountability with one person, that supports me. But if I take it on with, like, a whole community, then I'm personally much more, I'll do it.
Yeah, you're much more connected to it. Yeah.
I'll actually do it.
Yep. I totally get that. Well, and that was part of, well, last year, and Gail, you were a big part of the Awakening Beyond Achievement Tour. And once I sort of made this announcement, okay, we're going on this 5-city tour, and, you know, you sort of make a certain hoopla about it. Boy, then I had to follow through, and of course, you know, there were times when I'm like, I'm really going to go do this and what? And but, right, we had to follow through.
That's right.
And fill up those chairs. And I hear you on the, you know, the love-hate relationship with accountability. You know, sometimes it's like, I just don't want to be accountable. And to the extent we can make it fun, you know, it really can end up working. There's a gal that I've connected with on Twitter, and I don't know, somewhere, you know, when we go and do workouts, because she does some running and some Bikram yoga, and somehow we got connected over Bikram yoga, that we were both just getting back into it, and, you know, that, oh, it's so painful those first few times going back. And somehow after this first of the year, we sort of became accountability partners with workouts. So every day we're like, okay, I made it to the gym, yay. Or, you know, what are you doing tomorrow? You know, you know, way to go. So we're kind of like this back and forth. And I'll tell you, you know, it's been a, you know, rough couple weeks, but now these last few days have actually, it's gotten to be where I'm like wanting to go because it's now I'm so hooked on it, feels so good. Instead of the, I just, you know, I don't want to feel lethargic and not walk my talk.
Beautiful, yeah, fun factor.
Mm-hmm. Make it fun. Nice. Nice, nice. And I'm sure you're also, Gail, really connected in with just the impact of what Project Heaven on Earth can do for others. Like how yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's always one of my accesses for sustainable inspiration is the difference that I might make
mm-hmm.
by taking that action or sharing that thing or whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then the flip side of that, which is, you know, if we believe it all in sacred contracts, that there are certain people that you know, were meant to inspire and contribute to and make a difference to on this journey, that it's, you know, this, if you don't do this, those people.
I feel the pain.
Right. right. There's, I remember actually Suzanne Evans and her partner, she does a weekly newsletter, and I think it was one week when Suzanne wasn't quite, you know, coming together with the newsletter, and her partner came to her, and she's like, but Suzanne, these people are relying upon you. You know, we've made this commitment. They need you. Like, okay, let me get on that. So, good. Well, thanks for sharing that. Let's do this. Well, just as one other tip to rev up your sustainable inspiration. You know, and again, it's an ongoing basis. We need to sometimes come back and get connected again and again and again. But one thing that also can help is looking to see what emotional muscles can help support your sustainable inspiration. Again, go back to Momentum Mastery Forum. There's at least one call that's fully dedicated to emotional muscles, so you can find that and learn more specifically about that. Like, for example, let's say, actually this kind of fits with Juanita. So if she's wanting to really cultivate meaning and really speak up more, she might engage the emotional muscle of confidence, right? So whatever natural level of confidence she has, she might consciously spend a little bit of time like flexing, you know, how, you know, what that would feel like to just, you know, speak up, to really, you know, go for her life in the fullest fashion and try and take all the places in her life where she's experienced confidence, kind of, you know, one by one, layer those on top of each other so that she can deepen her own sense of confidence. Kind of like going to the gym and working a bicep muscle. It's really picking an emotion and consciously working on deepening it in your own mind and in your own body. So confidence could be one. Since I've talked a lot about working out, since that's been one of my focuses these last few weeks, the emotional muscle of anticipation is another emotional muscle that has made a big difference for me in, you know, focusing on the anticipation of, you know, feeling my body, you know, jump into those workout clothes and dash out the door and eagerly jump on the exercise bike or make it to a yoga class. And really kind of thinking about it all day in anticipation, almost like Christmas, that has really worked to kind of amp up my sustainable inspiration for working out. May also be useful for Gail on blog writing or heck, in anything, right? Anticipating speaking up and sharing openly. So I guess that sort of sums that up. We're at the top of the hour here. Just want to just do a quick check-in. Anyone that would like to share something that they're taking of value from today's call? Something you're taking of value from today's call.
Well, this is Gail. I'll share.
Okay. Great.
You know, for me, I've heard this many times. You know, I've been in your courses, and it's not a new distinction for me, but what I'm taking away from it today is it is landing once again as a reminder that I'm, like, in charge. Like, I can set this structure up to support myself in fulfilling on whatever it is that I'm interested in and up to, and I that lands today as a really, I'm really grateful for the reminder.
Thank you. Very good. So, okay, so we'll do this. Let's just wrap up for tonight's call. I want to thank all of you for being part of today and really invite you to, you know, be connected to your source of sustainable inspiration. Our next Momentum Mastery call is lesson number 8 from The Power of Inner Choice on embracing reality. So really about aligning with what is, which is one of the most core key principles to creating greater inner peace in your life. So with that, we'll wrap for tonight. Looking forward to rallying with all of you next week. And everyone have a great evening. Bye, everyone.